I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Chris Brosberry of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Alex Province, both of our senior contributors, they are. And Lori Mack, our senior producer. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
All right. Tell your friends, no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. And we have it posted on Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on Facebook. All right, we have all kinds of tips. Here's the deal. As you might know or you might have heard, because we have thousands of you talking with us on Facebook, as you might have heard, we have our entire Thanksgiving kit posted there. I'm talking about that pear basil sour cocktail from Anthony DeSario, and it is our Thanksgiving mood bath that is there. We have the incredible melting potatoes. These are the best roasted potatoes really I have ever had.
They're
unbelievable. I can eat the whole tray myself. That is posted there. We have Ina Garten's twice baked potatoes. We have Chris Brosberry's a special gravy that makes you feel like you're a chef. It is so easy to do. And this technique that we fully credit Ina Garten.
Totally.
This is a make-ahead turkey and Chris's make-ahead gravy. And you just, rest your turkey slices in this gravy.
The spa.
And then put it, yes, yes, another mood bath. You put it in the oven and it warms up the platter, the turkey, the gravy. Yeah. Out it comes.
Juicy.
It is juicy and gorgeous. That we tell you exactly how to do that. That's right now on Faith Middleton, Food Schmooze on Facebook, and also at our site. So can't wait. Here's what we were talking about, stress. Mm. I have never had a Thanksgiving without stress. Have you?
Never.
I don't think there's such a thing.
Chris, you're the professional chef. The same
still,
is true for you,
it's
right?
It's still, when I'm cooking at home or at friends' houses, it's still that juggling of what goes in and out of the oven at what time.
Lori,
stress.
This is absolutely universal.
Yeah. And I'm not a cook.
Yeah. You can like see it on my face when I open the door.
Hi, welcome.
That's what welcome. You need.
Wait,
of our
something's
bear.
Burning.
You need that what's pear basil.
What's that smoke coming out of the kitchen?
Make yourselves comfortable. So we've been cruising like crazy, right, to get as many tips as we can find. And so this is going to be jam-packed with tips that we have coming your way. We learn constantly from you. So we would like to invite you to join us on Facebook to tell us what your tips are. Is there something that you do that is really helpful at Thanksgiving time? Please share the wealth. Share it with all of us. We want to learn from you. Everybody wants to learn. If we can cut back on some of the stress that goes with, this is the best holiday. Yeah. So why not take a little stress out? And so we're going to do our tips, but please share your tips with us on Facebook. And while you're there, like us so we can send this stuff to you. You can always have a quick alert, free delivery. You can always have a quick alert that we have posted something fun, like that pear basil cocktail that we just popped up there.
That
you're definitely going to need. I would say number one is to not think of Thanksgiving as needing to be a perfect day.
Yep.
I don't. What is a perfect day? There's
no
always something that happens in a day that is not perfect. And so why would your holiday be perfect when you have 52 things to do? It's just not going to happen. So don't. I think the game is to not expect it to be perfect.
Yeah, just have fun.
Try your best. I mean, mistakes are going to happen. You just recover.
Yeah.
Do your best to recover.
Do your best. And if something doesn't come out, you have so many other side dishes. You can put one aside and
that's
not
right.
Use it. Or I mean, I've even done that where you taste something, you're like, that just didn't work. And like I said it before, you hide it in the cupboard
the
and no one even
on.
See it. Yeah, the show must go on.
Exactly. And also, doesn't everyone know you're taking the cake out of the pan and a big piece of it stays in the pan and you've got a hole
in
it.
Yeah.
You eat that piece, it gets stuck, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes. No, so
you glue
just,
it back on.
No, you eat it.
You glue it. Yeah. You know, I mean, you
stick
just
it back
like
on
stick
there.
It in. You draw, whatever happens.
You fill it with frosting.
You fill it with frosting.
All right,
so this is what we're saying. Just, it's not going to be perfect. Just
number
do your
one
best.
Number one and best tip.
And everybody knows that this stuff happens. So don't think I'm going to be so embarrassed in front of these people. I've announced to people, well, that's frozen, that turkey, and so we're going to do our best here. Okay.
Dinner served at 10.
Lori, give us a tip.
So if you make your cranberry sauce, this is one thing that you can definitely make several days ahead without any worry whatsoever. You can stick that in the back of the refrigerator, and that's one dish you can cross right off your list. That is my first thing I make.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
Yeah, it's a good one.
How about cleaning the refrigerator out? Alex, you mentioned this in a recent show, and I was saying line up some coolers with some ice packs in them, maybe a few hours ahead. You know, when you get up in the morning, some people are putting the turkey in early, especially if you are following our recipe in the kit for make-ahead turkey, which is easy to do and absolutely delicious, absolutely delicious. Then when you get up in the morning to make the turkey early, throw some ice packs into a cooler. If you don't have ice packs, you don't want to spend the money on them, take some plastic soda bottles leading up to Thanksgiving, fill them with water, leave a little space so that they can expand, and freeze those. Then put your soda bottles.
Milk jugs, too.
Milk jugs. And you can line them up in the hallway if you don't have a garage. If you have a garage, they can go there. They can go in the basement, outside in the yard.
In the car.
If you have a garage, that's not heated and you can make sure that it's closed off and it stays at 40 degrees, that's fine, too.
Closed off.
What was a Christmas story? The dogs break
the dogs break in. Yeah, I have that story.
All right. Also, you can use those coolers to store things in your refrigerator. You want to make room in your refrigerator.
Ketchup.
To hold, all your condiments and jars of jellies and jams. Pickles. I have about 8 of those in my refrigerator. All those things. Yes, pickles. All that kind of stuff can go into those coolers. But you want to make room in the refrigerator for all those extra bowls and platters. The lucky people have a second refrigerator in the garage or the basement. But that's not true for everybody. So this is a way to do that.
We just cleaned our oven. So now, it's not going to get dirty in the next couple of weeks, I don't think. It's a good time because the oven's going to be used all day during Thanksgiving, so it's not the time to be worrying about cleaning it or the slice of pizza that's on the bottom.
we've been doing this high temperature roasting of our chickens lately, and there's a lot of spattering, so we're going to have to be cleaning that oven quite often.
On the microwave too.
So make anything and everything you possibly can in advance. We tell you in our Food Schmooze recipe kit how to do Chris's gravy that is killer good, even the turkey in advance. That's Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on Facebook. How about the pen and paper on the counter, Chris?
Yeah, I love that idea. And that's just getting your ideas and whatever recipes you have and sort of make a list of what you need to, even start at the beginning, what you need to buy, then what order you're going to make it in, and then for the day of, the time and about time, right, that you take it in, put it in the oven and take it out of the oven.
I do that. So I cannot remember what went in when. Yeah. Does this have to come out? What did the recipe say? Even if I made it several times, what did that say? Did that have to come out when? How does that time up? Yeah. I just keep a pen and paper on the counter and I jot down the sweet potatoes in at this time. They have to come out at this time.
You can almost print them on the computer or type them up on the computer and then print them and then have a paper copy on the counter.
That's a good idea too.
You don't have to spend a lot of money, but buy an extra cheap timer that will, there's your phone you can use. Many people have timers on their phones, but sometimes you can use I need 3 timers and I have a double timer on the counter, and then that is in long stretches and then short stretches. I set both of those and I set my phone, so that's 3 timers. Yep. You need.
So do you ever make little notes in your recipe books about things that you've made in the past? You don't really remember what you had that you knew it was something that you really loved.
Add more nuts.
Right.
Not
I
so
make
much
little,
cook last time.
And I also, in the beginning of the recipe book, I pull it out and mark what it was with a star to indicate that I really liked it and what page it's on.
Good idea. So we were talking about mistakes happening, and if you, the perfect is the enemy of the good. So you just have to know that something is probably going to go wrong.
Get it over with. Hey, I burnt that.
All right.
Burn it on. Burn the bacon for breakfast.
But here is probably the biggest mistake all of us make, and that is to overcook the turkey. It's because of how the bird is constructed. The dark meat on those legs take time to cook, and by the time they're done, the breast meat is dried out. This is what happens. This is why a lot of chefs cut up the turkey or ask the butcher. They get a fresh turkey and they ask the butcher to cut it up for them, many people, and therefore you can put the legs in first and then you can put the breast in, you can do all that kind of stuff. But say you're not going to do any of that and your turkey is just a little on the dry side. Real Simple Magazine, I thought this was the best tip. They said, drizzle the sliced meat with warmed chicken broth and it makes it juicy again. Or you can do what we do in our recipe kit posted right now on Facebook and bathe the turkey slices in gravy and serve it that way. And that's the idea of the genius Ina Garten.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break right here. And when we come back, we have more tips for you. We have recipes to talk about. And don't forget, coming up, we have that chocolate mousse pie that we're recommending for Thanksgiving. We have that on Facebook, too. It's a winner from the Guitard Chocolate Company in San Francisco. It's a beauty. I'm Faith Middleton with Alex Provins and Chris Brosberry. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. There's a tip. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
I'm Faith Middleton with Alex Provins and Chris Brosberry, our senior contributors Lori Mack, our senior producer. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9 and Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook, especially right now. All you have to do is search Faith Middleton Food Schmooze to get right to it. As you know, our Thanksgiving recipe kit is posted there. And we want to hear your tips there for Thanksgiving so that we can all help each other keep this as stress-free as possible. We learn from you, so we're getting a good conversation going there and can't wait to talk to you. So what do we have in our Thanksgiving kit? You will find the oven-roasted cranberry citrus compote. That is from How to Make a Turkey that was produced by Fine Cooking Magazine, that book. Incredible melting potatoes, the best potatoes I have ever had, roasted potatoes on the planet. This is where the potatoes drink up the chicken stock and butter like risotto, and that's the technique, and they are so incredible. I'm telling you, make twice the amount. They disappear so fast. We have the roasted Brussels sprouts with pears, and shallots, and if you want, I toss in prosciutto that crisps up. And this goes, boom, into the oven on a sheet tray with some olive oil, and out of the oven it comes. You can even serve it at room temperature. It is fantastic. Even people who don't like Brussels sprouts love this dish. Yeah. And you could, if you don't want prosciutto, maybe you're a vegetarian.
That's what all my vegetarian friends want, a little bacon.
You can put in pecans or walnuts or whatever you want to do. And Marion Roy, our production assistant, turned us on to that one.
I
have made it so many times. Yes, Chris, you've made it in the restaurant.
It's really a great combination.
We have Chris Brosberry's Make Ahead Gravy. How about taking taking the stress out that way. It's so good. And we have the make-ahead turkey, the idea from Ina Garten. And we say it doesn't even matter what, you know, she has that make-it-ahead cookbook. Yep. It doesn't even matter how you do your turkey. Nope. You can still, you know, whatever your recipe is, you can still do it. We tell you exactly how. We have the value wine there. Alex is a wine broker, and he discovered this for us. It is French. There's plenty of it here in the region at your wine stores, and we've even got the label posted on Facebook. You can just take the label with you to the store and show it to them. And or you can, this is a fabulous red, and it is about $15 a bottle. It is the perfect price, and it's a steal for the quality of this wine. And or you can call ahead and spell the name, but it's right there on Facebook, so it's right on your screen. Hey, it's right on your screen.
Yeah, rather than trying to describe, like, hey, it's in a brown bottle, the tan label, just tell them it's Esprit de Flore or Spirit of the Flower. It's this cool Malbec.
Where do you see the label?
And it's a beautiful label with that beautiful lady.
Well, what would we say about this wine? That it has its drinkability. It's very lithe, well, I think.
For Thanksgiving, you want something that's going to go with a lot of different dishes. That's not too heavy or too light. So something like a Pinot Noir or a French Malbec that just, it's going to pair your turkey and your cranberry and your stuffing and your mashed potatoes. So something's got to be sort of neutral and goes with everything on the table.
Okay.
I'm looking at your Thanksgiving Cosmo Sparkler.
Ooh,
that's a good way to start, right? Lemon-flavored vodka, orange liqueur, cranberry juice, lime juice, a little champagne, and fresh cranberries for garnish. That's the way to start
it, right?
Is you
good.
Got the wine to go with the dinner, and then at the beginning, go with the, right?
Yeah.
Fate's Thanksgiving Cosmo Sparkler.
Oh, and we have Ina Garten's twice-baked sweet potatoes up there, and they puff up in their little jackets oven, so they look like little souffles in the potato jacket. That she is an amazing person. That's from her cookbook, Make It Ahead, and we have it posted on Facebook. Okay, don't forget, coming up, we have that chocolate mousse pie with the chocolate cookie crust crumbled in the bottom.
Faith's way of getting chocolate on that table.
All I can think about.
If it's the last thing she's going to do.
Yes. If anyone was going to throw
getting chocolate on the Thanksgiving table this year.
If anyone was going to throw a pie in my face, that's the kind of pie I want. It's like...
Chris, we have to remember that.
Yes. Alex, I might make that pie next week for you to try.
The kind you scrape off your cheeks and eat.
But who doesn't love chocolate mousse, right? And in a pie?
Yeah. Yum, yum.
A couple
with
extra steps in it.
Deep, dark cookie
good.
Wafer that you buy in the supermarket, crumbled up down
together.
There in the bottom. Oh, my God. You just press it in with your fingers. Pop that in the oven, and it bakes.
Yeah.
It gets all warm, and then you've got this beautiful whipped cream mousse that goes in with the chocolate in it. Oh, my goodness. This is then a little chocolate shaving on the top. You'll see.
Fancy.
We're going to get to that in our next segment.
Where do you put your pies after you make all your desserts? I always love
that's
the idea.
Problem.
Yeah.
Well, here's a tip, because we're doing tips on the show, stress-free. One of the tips that one of the chefs recommended on the Food Network was to do a set up a sideboard, even if you don't normally have one. Set up a long table or use something you have,
and
maybe it's a cardboard table, and you set up your desserts over there.
So they're all in
the
one
ones
place.
That can come out of the refrigerator.
Yep. High enough to keep the dog's snout
out of it.
We have a new dog in our family. I am so excited. This is a white French lab named Minnow.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
I'm going to post a picture of Minnow.
Awesome.
Oh, my
for
goodness. It's my niece Suzanne's and for her kids, Teddy and Lulu. I am so excited. This cutie pie, and so I'm worried about wrapping the table legs.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he's just like chewing on everything.
Chewing.
So I can't, but I cannot wait to cuddle with him. Here's one from Jacques Pepin. He told me years ago, I was making dinner for him, for Gloria, and a couple of other people. He said, I started to serve them as we were changing courses. And he said, no, that's not what we do at our house. He said, everybody serves together and everybody clears together.
That's a great idea.
They got up at each break and So whether it's just for you, because it's a holiday at the beginning and the end, yeah, whatever way you want to do it, if you do not have wait staff at your home, which I do not.
You don't?
No.
Right?
I don't know why. I keep asking myself why.
But it's a great idea, because then it takes that weight off of the one person that has to serve and clear.
You know, I have to say that I almost like to do the dishes ourselves, though. We're the kind of people that are like, just
dishes,
stay.
But just the, just like, but let just, us. But the clearing, you know, that
wanna
getting it off the table.
Do you want to hear a great tip?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is, I can't remember who said this, because I've been researching tips for hours and hours. Someone said, go buy a plastic bin of some kind, or even a couple trash bags in a plastic waste can. Fill it with some soapy water.
And
as
soak.
Things come off, put them out, you know, put it out on outside the door or something, and then put them in to this soapy bin after you've scraped them. And you can have a trash can with a plastic bag set up too. scrape, don't forget which is.
Go swimming for dishes afterwards. Bobbing for plates.
But soaking is definitely.
New Thanksgiving tradition.
But soaking is the way to do it.
Swimming in a hot tub in the back.
And there's gravy in there.
No, listen, that's an idea too. If you have a hot tub, you put a little dish soap in the hot tub. You put your pots and pans in there, and then by morning, right?
No,
they should be all cleaned. Just have to have a good filter.
I went swimming. I smell like turkey.
Oh boy.
I smell like turkey anyway at the end of Thanksgiving. Here's the deal. Somebody said, after you've scraped the dishes, if you don't want to look at it, just throw them in a bin and carry the bin to the shower and stick the bin in the shower. But don't forget to close the curtain or the door to the shower so people can't see.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah,
it's
and
magic.
They said, and then clean them later. So, but anyway, I love this thing of putting them in wet, into some kind of wet container so that they're soaking while you're having a good time if you want to clean up much, much later.
I just wish they were better recyclable plates that then there's no dishes.
What are you doing to throw away plates?
Oh my gosh, for Thanksgiving, I love every part of it except for
the
mountain of like pots and pans and roasting pans.
It
and
is
pie
so,
plates.
So
and,
I go on duty if I'm at somebody's house, and I always have Thanksgiving with my sister Sally. But if I'm and I just start cleaning in between. Making things, and so I clean as I go.
Clean
it at least helps. There's still 500 dishes at the end, but it helps a little bit, so I try to. But there's so much going on, it's really hard to do.
So, you know, it's interesting. Every Thanksgiving, I can dirty every single plate, utensil, knife, cutting board in the entire house, but I can do this for 8 hours straight, so it's like a continuous thing. And we always laugh and say, you know, we on a Friday night can make like a really simple chicken dinner with like 4 or 5 sides and it's fewer and it works. So for those of us that don't want like, you know, a horrific, huge all day affair, you know, 4 really done sides and a little turkey work.
So much can be done ahead. The chef Michael Cimarusti says, start 3 days out.
Agreed.
With dicing your onions, garlic, carrots, and celery. Keep them in a sealable plastic bag or in airtight containers.
No question.
That is the best tip, I think, because that does take time. It's getting in the way of your flow as you're stopping to do that. And you think, this isn't going to go bad. It's in a sealable container.
And that's a restaurant tip. That's how we cook in a restaurant. We always have bins in our big walk-in refrigerator with chopped onion, chopped celery, and chopped carrots.
So we
just because when you're cooking and you're busy, the last thing you want to do is stop to chop things. So I have people that actually just do that chopping, and when we're cooking, you just grab that out of the refrigerator and you go, and it makes cooking so much faster and easier.
So we always go to the restaurant supply place and buy the plastic containers that you use, Chef, that everything stacks up on.
Yeah.
One another, and then it makes your refrigerator so neat. They're clear plastic, so you can look right in.
Yeah, but you don't even have to. A little tip and a little secret of where we're getting them now. We go to TJ Maxx, and you know, in the homeware or home's goods section, we get these glass ones that are just you can wash. They're not plastic; they're glass. They all come with lids. They stack up on top of each other. And when you put them in the fridge, the fridge looks actually beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're really inexpensive when
stackable.
You get them in a place. Stackable. Like I said, they'll come they're four
glass.
Or five per...
Like Pyrex.
Yeah, Pyrex. Oh, and they're okay. even... And they are. They're microwavable. They're
and
oven-proof.
And they have lids.
And they have lids. So they're used.
Okay.
And they're pretty enough to use for serving dishes,
but
too.
But, you know, Ziploc bags huh. work probably pretty well, too.
Yep, there's another yep. way.
Okay. Yep. So what are we doing? We want your tips on Facebook right now. Faith Middleton Food Schmooze is how you find us. While you're there, please like us so that we can send you all, you know, the stuff that we post and you're clued in, it comes right to you, free delivery. Okay. What are we doing? We're doing tips. We would love to hear from you. Please share your tips with us and so that you can help everybody else. Here's some more. We're going to start firing them at you. Here's a tip from one of the chefs on the Food Network. Go to your butcher, you know, weeks in advance, so now, and order a fresh turkey instead of buying a frozen one. The difference in taste, he thinks, is incredible. I do, Chris, you like it?
I like it.
I do think
so, too.
It's true.
And you know what? Go, if you want to get a little crazy.
Frozen is fine.
Frozen is fine, but
this does taste a little bit better.
At least you'll never have a frozen turkey.
We can talk about that another time. But yeah, it takes that weight out of, because there's another stress factor. I bought a frozen turkey. When do I take it out of the freezer? When do I start thawing it? How long does it take to thaw in your refrigerator? All those things are variables in there. How often are you in and out of your refrigerator? That affects the time and the thawing.
I am totally putting my turkey in a cooler, though.
That's
if instead
you're
of contaminating my whole refrigerator, I'm going to put all my stuff like that in a cooler.
Well, so you want to think about making sure that things that are temperature sensitive
yes.
go into the refrigerator, though, mm-hmm. because we know that's at a stable temperature.
Okay.
Whereas the cooler, if you're going to do something like that, Alex, I would just say throw in one of those little cheap thermometers and make sure that what is it, Chris?
40 degrees, 42 degrees.
You just don't want it to go below 42 degrees.
If you buried it in ice, wouldn't that keep it cold?
Yeah, especially a lot of the turkeys now come in those cryovacs, so
yeah.
I mean they can stay in ice too. But again, if you're thawing, that's a little trickier.
Okay, so here we go with more tips. One of the chefs said, "I'll go through some of these Food Network things." I feel like I have failed as a cook when there are no leftovers. So every year I cook a larger turkey. I make a little more stuffing than I might think I need. And I make sure there is lots and lots of gravy. So, Chris, I'm glad your gravy recipe
like
is up there.
I know people
on Facebook
that actually cook two turkeys, one early or the night before, mm-hmm. and that's their leftover turkey. So if they eat it all the day of, they have one in the fridge.
It's
as
not
a backup.
Great not the backup turkey.
No, it's like, I guess it's the backup turkey, but it's for the sandwiches.
As we always seem to say on this show. And you can break it up and put it in your ice cube tray.
Yeah.
I don't know why that comes up every time.
The turkey?
Why not?
Yeah, that's what I'm
little
saying.
Turkey sandwiches
a little
later on.
Turkey-y.
Okay, just make your own bouillon. Okay, so one of the chefs says, I always use bourbon in my brines. Because bourbons have smoky, woody notes, which give turkey fantastic flavor.
Oh, wow.
So he is soaking his turkey before he cooks it.
It's also good to take the stress out a little bit while you're brining your turkey.
So he's brining in bourbon?
He puts bourbon in his brining water. Yeah. Usually that's a salt solution unless you're doing a dry brine, which is just salt. And so,
kills the germs.
So here's a tip. Depending on how many guests you have, it might be a good idea to buy a cooked turkey. There are a lot of great barbecue joints that have turkeys ready to go. And they are, he said, and then it's only a worry-free reheat.
You're doing
there are a lot of barbecue places that do smoked turkeys to go. That's a great idea.
One of the Iron Chefs says make sure all your side dishes, every single one, are done the day before. That's right. You heard it here.
Yep.
They all should be done. There's not a reason in the world why you should be making your, reheat them. And so
I say even the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, definitely.
Put them in a Pyrex
thing. You can check Ina Garten's book, Make It Ahead, because she tells you how to do those Make Ahead mashed potatoes.
Yeah. So if you buy a turkey, you put it in the oven and make it look like you cooked it yourself?
Hey. Yes. Totally. Oh, my gosh. And you dirty a roasting pan, too. Maybe you roast some vegetables in it, and then you put the turkey on top.
One more stress buster. don't get sucked. This is Andrew Carmelini talking. He's a very great chef. He said, don't get sucked into ingredient ego. You do not need to source every single last ingredient directly from the farm. We love our farmers. Yeah. We love the farm shopping. You know us. We do it all the time. But every single thing doesn't have to come from there. Stress-free Thanksgiving, everybody. Go online to Facebook and give us your tips. Faith Middleton Food Schmooz. We'll be right back. Chocolate pie. Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooz Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. And especially join the conversation with us on Facebook. Search Faith Middleton, Food Schmooz. As we return to the show, we have a teaser from next week's show. We're launching a whole on-demand Faith Middleton Food Schmooz world for you next Thursday and Saturday, and every Thursday and Saturday. So here is a quick glimpse of what's coming. The PBS Italian food cooking star, Lydia Bastianich.
Faith Middleton, what a name. What a pleasure to be here with you on the show. Congratulations on the Food Schmooz, and I am so proud to be on your launch.
Thank you so much. Author of the new cookbook, Lydia's Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine. Chris tells us you could even, though this is roasting in the oven, you could even do this in a crock pot. So,
absolutely.
This is beef braised in Barolo wine. It calls for a beef roast. You could use flat iron. You could use chuck, bottom round. You trim off the fat, extra virgin olive oil, some onion and carrots and celery, garlic cloves and some fresh rosemary and sage leaves, grated nutmeg, that's a secret ingredient, black peppercorns, dried porcini mushrooms, or maybe a mixture of wild mushrooms, whatever is around. Here's my favorite, a little beef stock, and here's my favorite, two bottles of Barolo.
One to drink?
No.
One for the braising.
That would then be three bottles. So two bottles. Imagine this roasting in two bottles of Barolo wine. And there are affordable Barolos for this, right, Lydia? So tell us about this. We just ate it. It's phenomenal. A teaser and excerpt from PBS Italian food star Lydia Bastianich. Hear her on next Thursday's new Faith Middleton Food Schmooz at 3 and 9. This cookbook we're about to talk about involves chocolate, and there is a recipe in this book that I think is ideal for Thanksgiving or actually any time of year. Wait till you hear this. It's an incredible chocolate mousse pie. Where do we get to this? So here's the name of the cookbook, Guittard Chocolate Cookbook. Guittard is in San Francisco, and they make one of my favorite chocolate bars. They make cocoa powder, lots of things. This is great stuff. This is high-quality stuff, and you can get it all over. I just got a whole package the other night of their, you know, semi-sweet chocolate chips, and I snack on those.
Those are for cookies.
That's what they said. No, it's a wonderful way to snack with chocolate. So, Guittard Chocolate Cookbook, and we have Amy Guittard on the line with us. Welcome to the Food Schmooz Party.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, as you know, we're going to get to that chocolate mousse pie in just a minute. I want to cruise through a couple of things with you. Chocolate coconut bread. This is easy. This is one of those one-pan breads that you just pop into the oven. Flour, baking powder, salt, a little unsweetened shredded coconut, some butter, sugar, an egg, whole milk, coconut water, vanilla extract, and Guittard's bittersweet chocolate, and some sugar.
Yeah, it's just a really simple, quick bread. And you know, I think the combination of the coconut really adds a moisture component to it. You know, and we've got so many different products. And, you know, a lot of the products that we produce are intended for professional pastry chefs. So we've got a whole line of consumer products. So these recipes in this book are really intended to provide people with the basics and the tool set to be able to get comfortable baking and then have a little bit of exploration. And this recipe lends itself to exploration as well. The recipe calls for using a single origin that we produce, which is a Colombian single origin, which has a lot of spicy notes, which actually pairs really well with that coconut flavor. So it's really fun. If you're not really into a spicy note to a chocolate, say, you could try maybe another single origin or just one of our classic baking bars that we recently came out with as well.
You even make a 100% bar, right? So it's 100% cacao?
It is. It's basically your classic baking bar, as one would describe it, but it's unsweetened chocolate, so it's got nothing more than just the ground-up cocoa beans, and it's a really sort of unique flavor profile. It's very sort of what we would call like a French style. It's got a lot of different flavor notes going on it, which makes for really unique products, and it really comes to life in a baked application.
I had once, years ago, probably 10 years ago, tried a 100% bar from Italy. And before I tasted it, I thought, is this even going to be edible? Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I didn't know what to expect. But it does have these really interesting notes. You know, almost this one had these almost cherry notes in it, even though there wasn't a drop of sugar.
Yeah, no, and it's really all those flavors just come from the blend and the inherent notes in the beans. And we do a ton of work around sourcing and really pick high-quality beans. My dad is the master of that here, and this was a labor of love to produce this product, and there aren't a lot of 100% bars that are really palatable, but I gobble this one up all the time, believe it or not. Give someone, you know, we make a 91% bar, we make an 85%, and then you have your 100%, and everyone is kind of freaked out about trying it, and then they try it, and they're surprised at how sort of palatable and edible it is.
Yes, I like to think of it as a health food.
Mm. Yeah, that too. The original energy bar.
Okay, let's go to, because this is, oh boy, this is really something. I think restaurants everywhere should do this. This is a deep chocolate bread pudding, and you use some challah bread that is cubed and a little bit of sugar, and this is a cocoa, this has cocoa powder in it with the cinnamon and cardamom and some eggs and milk, vanilla, and a heavy whipping cream.
This is one of my favorite recipes. I love bread, and I love challah, and I could eat bread all day long. But that aside, when it came to an opportunity to have bread pudding, I jump at it. And then, you know, we added we make a product, Cocoa Rouge, which is this beautiful Dutch cocoa powder, and it really adds that deep richness. And then you add those beautiful spices, like a cinnamon and a cardamom, which just, spices are so fun to play with regardless. And together, those two really add a unique sort of flavor note there. And I like a really custardy bread pudding, and so you can adjust sort of how much custard is in there based on how much bread you add in. But the ratio that we've provided in the recipe really gives that sort of custardy note. And if I might add, the photograph that we put in the book is pretty indicative of what it looks like, with that beautiful kind of sheen on the challah, and then that really beautiful custard.
Yeah, this is a beautiful thing. And essentially, all the ingredients go into a bowl. That's what's so nice about this. And then
the only problem is that you've got to wait till your bread gets a bit stale. That's, I think, the hardest part. But once that's done, it's really easy to whip up. So
when you use a powder, the unsweetened cocoa powder, the natural question is that as chocolatey as a melted bar would be?
You know, people, I think, automatically think, because a Dutch powder is a little bit, technically a little bit darker. This Cocoa Rouge that we make is actually a beautiful sort of red hue to it, which is just because of the beans. But, you know, I think people automatically assume that it's going to be like a richer chocolate flavor. Dutch process is basically an alkali process. You're adding sodium bicarbonate and you're basically taking out the acids. So it kind of flattens the flavor a little bit. It's not necessarily as kind of floral and fruity, say, but it certainly delivers that, what we call more of a Moorish flavor, which is like you want more of it. So, the easy terms we use over here.
That is a great term. We're gonna borrow that term here on the show. We're all about the Moorish.
It's funny when you look at like a lot of we make so many different sorts of products and different flavor profiles, and some of which are, you know, you can eat a lot of it, and that would be in the Moorish category, not necessarily Dutch, but more Moorish. And then you've got some other products that are more kind of sipping chocolates. You know, you have a little bite here, a little bite there. That might be more of a single origin experience.
Oh, that's so interesting. This is called Guittard Chocolate Cookbook. We have Amy Guittard on the line. The company is based in San Francisco, but of course you can get their chocolate all over it. It's one of my favorite chocolates, and so I'm very interested in what they're doing. These, you know how everybody loves the soft center chocolate cake, that molten lava cake,
yeah.
The fork goes in. There was that period years ago when this was just stunning in a restaurant, and then, you know, now it's kind of disappeared a little bit. Well, and whenever it's around, my friends and I, we still order it. Yeah, it's so terrific. So this is a wonderful idea that you folks have. Molten chocolate cookies.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think a similar parallel to make with these guys is when you make a brownie, you know, you can either have like a really sort of cakey brownie, which is typically made with a cocoa powder, or you can have a really fudgy brownie, which is kind of like a molten chocolate cake, but it's got that sort of ooey-gooey component to it, and that comes by melting down your chocolate and mixing that with butter. And so that's what we're doing in this molten chocolate cookie, and it's just this really beautiful sort of soft, chewy cookie that's full-blown chocolate from head to toe, or from center to exterior.
Oh, boy. And it comes from the melting in the center is controlled by how long you're cooking it?
Yeah, I mean, the more you cook it, the sort of like, you know, harder, chewier it would be. But yeah, if you kind of want to underbake it, things, not necessarily underbake it, but, you know, you want them to be soft. And I think it's hard, you know, when you're baking, the science of baking can always be a little bit intimidating. But, you know, just follow the instructions and you should get a pretty good molten chocolate cookie.
And for this, you're calling for your Guittard semi-sweet chocolate baking wafers.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen those.
That's a brand new product that we came out with, and we used to have some wafers. The new products that we came out with are slightly different blend, and they're all organic and fair trade certified, which is super exciting for us. And all of our products are now fair trade certified on the consumer side, as well as our products for professional pastry chefs. And so I always tell people that, you know, your baking wafers or your baking bars are somewhat interchangeable in that both of them have more cocoa butter than, say, a baking chip. If you're melting down chocolate, you want to use wafers or bars. In this book, we're using wafers for anything that's typically measured in like cups, where you're using more than, say, 6 ounces of it, whereas you're baking bars with a smaller amount of it, then you're going to use your baking bars. But they both melt down really well, and if you have a preference for breaking your bars and melting those down rather than wafers, or you can't get your hand on them, you can use either one.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure on that. Of course,
the flavor profile, again, is going to be a bit different, but
lots of cookies in here. We're getting into that cookie season. Chocolate shoes and hot cocoa madeleines and Sierra nuggets and brownies of various kinds and flourless chocolate cake. We love that. But I want to really zero in right now on the thing that I think works so beautifully for Thanksgiving. This recipe is a winner. This is your chocolate mousse pie.
Yum.
And yeah, this is, and it has that chocolate wafer cookie,
ooh,
you know, the chocolate cookie crust to it that is so great as an idea. So the chocolate mousse pie, unsalted butter, chocolate wafer cookies that you can buy in any supermarket, and that's where your crust is going to come from, dark brown sugar, a little bit of salt, which is a great idea. You whip up a little chocolate mousse, not hard at all. There's even a recipe here for how to make your whipped cream.
Yeah.
And then some chocolate shavings. Okay. And in your whipped cream recipes, you tell us how, if you want, if you're someone who can have alcohol, how to put just a little touch of alcohol in the whipped cream. But you don't have to. If you can't have alcohol, you don't have to do that. Okay, let's get into it. This chocolate mousse pie, our recommendation for Thanksgiving. This is a great one.
Yeah, you know, it's really simple. You know, you kind of walk through the ingredients. And, you know, the chocolate wafer cookies, again, you can purchase at any supermarket store. The closest, if you really wanted to make it from start to finish homemade, the closest thing we've got in the cookbook is the salted chocolate shortbread. So I would just remove that, the, you know, the tops of the salt that you sprinkle on it. But again, like, you just want to get your wafer cookies, toss them in a food processor, then you're going to mix that with brown sugar, melted butter, and that salt. And that's really going to make that crust stick together. And it's going to add that sort of crunchy layer to this multifaceted mousse pie.
When you do that, you point out that it's the texture of wet sand. And I like that helpful instruction, because I think, oh, okay, I get that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. Each of these recipes has a family story that's kind of associated with it. And pun intended, pun not intended. When I think of this, it's almost like the pies that you would make when you would go to the beach. And then you'd make like a mud pie. Kind of this similar thinking, although it tastes a whole lot better than an imaginary pie. But so, yeah, you're just going to put together all those ingredients to get your crust. And then your mousse is really, you know, a lot of people get confused. What's the difference between a mousse versus a pudding? A mousse is lighter and fluffier. So if you think about that light, fluffy texture combined with that sort of wafer cookie crust, it's really going to add a nice sort of parallel flavor. And so your mousse has that lighter texture, which really comes from whipping air into the mixture, which is what you're doing when you're making that mousse. And then, yeah.
So to walk you through up to this step one more time, as Amy just explained, the food processor is out. You take the chocolate wafer cookies you get in the supermarket and throw them in the processor, and they become crumbs. It takes about, you know, seconds to do that. And then toss in the brown sugar and some melted butter and that little bit of salt, process that again, and it becomes that consistency of wet sand. And then you put that mixture into a pie plate or pan, and you press.
And it can just really stick in there really easily when you do that.
And you press the crumbs into the bottom, you know how you do with your fingers, and then up the sides, which is my favorite part.
It's like fun.
Yeah, and so you bake that for just a short while, and then it comes out. You can even wrap it at this point. This is why this is an easy effect for Thanksgiving. You can wrap it at this point in plastic wrap and refrigerate this overnight. So anything you can do, as you know from our tips today, anything you can do ahead, we like. And then you would put the mousse into this pie shell that you just baked. So the mousse could not be easier. You've got guitared semi-sweet chocolate, some whipped cream that's been chilled, a couple tablespoons of a liqueur that you like. It could be, if you can have it, it could be Kahlua or Grand Marnier or raspberry framboise, and some egg whites and a little bit of sugar.
Yeah, it's really easy to do. You're just going to want to melt the chocolate wafers in a hot water bath or a microwave oven if you don't feel comfortable with the hot water bath, which is really easy to do, and it's kind of a foolproof way so you don't totally burn your chocolate, which you definitely don't want to do. And then you're going to just make sure that it's, you know, totally melted and smooth, and then you're going to let it cool. And it's really important to let it cool. And then you're just going to, in a colder bowl, you're going to beat the cream until it kind of gets into those soft peaks. And that's, if you're going to add liqueur, that's when you want to add the liqueur. You want to add it into that beaten cream. And then in a separate bowl, so this is really simple, but you just got a whole bunch of bowls going, so hopefully you don't get things confused. You are going to beat those egg whites until they're frothy, and then you're going to add in the sugar until they get those soft kind of peaks that form. And that's the beauty of baking, is the number of different sorts of transformations that you can watch happen before your eyes, which is one of the things that I love about it. So then you're going to fold in the chocolate into the egg white mixture, and then you're going to fold in the whipped cream. So you've kind of got your egg, your whipped cream, and then your chocolate, and at the very end, you're folding them all together. And the folding is really such a delicate process, and you just want to make sure that you're doing it fully and completely, but not over-whipping it, otherwise your mousse is going to be flat. But But again, the folding process is really what adds air and makes it that light and fluffy texture.
I'm not a baker, and in fact, I'm a terrible baker. It's not just passive, it's just active. I mean, it's just, I'm not good. I can make this pie. I'm telling you, this is a great, great pie. Chocolate mousse pie, our recommendation for that bit of chocolate that so many of us want. Just a hit of chocolate on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Amy, thank you so much for being with us. Love the recipes in here and very grateful for what you're doing there in San Francisco. And I'm glad this is available to all of us around the country. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
The Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. And of course, we're online anytime. You can find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wines, and easy cocktails we feature at our site, foodschmooze.org. Join the conversation with us. See all of our recipes and tips on Facebook. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.